We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm filing.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
What's going on? Welcome in episode 151 of Hogan Johns. And kind of scrambling this week to put it together. Had a rescheduled White Sox game that messed up our normal recording time today. But we're getting it done. A little late night, Monday night episode.
Double rescheduled White Sox game, you should say.
Well, it was delayed after the... Yeah, we had the... We had the four-day early reschedule, which is nice when you get a little heads up, I guess. Knew that it was supposed to be a night game, got moved up, and then we had a bunch of snow this morning, which was interesting.
kind of depressing. Interesting, I would say depressing.
I don't know. Your Cubbies couldn't play through it. White Sox didn't seem to have a problem, though.
Oh, this is going to be like the test of their manhood and stuff. An easy day off tomorrow, so they could reschedule it for Tuesday, Adam. You know, your White Sox didn't have that type of flexibility. But if you want to say it's a, or call into question the Cubs' manhood, you know, be my guest.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, one field looked fine, the other didn't. No, I'm just messing around. There's many reasons why the Sox game got played. The Cubs. First of all, the biggest is that it snowed a lot more on the north side than the south side. But yeah. This is a football podcast, not a baseball podcast, and we'll talk plenty of Bears. We do have to start this show with a little bit of news here in a second. But first, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our producer is Joe Romano. You can follow him at Joey Joe Rowe. You can read us, WGNradio.com/Bears. ChicagoSunTimes.com is where you read Johnsy. You can search Hogan Johns on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn. Find the podcast. Please rate and review it if you're a loyal listener. We appreciate you doing that. And for our loyal listeners, we do have some big show news. We've been talking about it for a long time. We've been trying to put it together for a long time. You asked for it, and it is indeed happening. The Hogan Johns live show is coming, and it's coming fast. April 17th, Johnsy. That's only...
it's just over a week.
Yeah, just over a week from now. So Tuesday, April 17th. We're recording this on a Monday night. Good chance you're listening to this on Tuesday, so that'll be a week from Tuesday. April 17th, 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Of course, those are somewhat loose times because it is a podcast. But we will be starting around 7:30. Depending on how long it goes, but aiming for an hour like we normally do with the podcast. So 7:30 to 8:30, and it's going to be at Dirty Nelly's in Palatine. So it's 180 North Smith Street in Palatine. It's a good spot if you've never been there. It's a good venue for things like this. Come out. Come see the show. We're going to do it live. Jared Payton is going to come in and do some time with us, too, on the show. So he'll be there, get to see the son of Walter Payton. We'll reminisce, tell some stories about good old number 34, have a couple beers. We're working on a couple other guests as well, which we'll try to put together in the next week or so. But very exciting, Johns. I mean, we've been trying to do this for a long time, get a chance to meet the listeners, and we hope everybody comes out.
It takes a lot to get me out of the city limits, and a girl named Dirty Nelly may do the trick.
Dirty. I don't know if is it named after a girl named Dirty Nelly?
I don't know. It's just an inappropriate name. It's an inappropriate name. It's appropriate for a podcast, I think. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be good to meet everybody. I'm looking forward to having a few beers myself. Who isn't at this time of year? It's draft prep season. Should be a good time. Had by all.
That is a good point, that for this silly podcast, that this is doing it at a place called Dirty Nelly's is perfect.
How many jokes do you think we could get in about balls?
I think we gotta come out hard and stay hard.
I mean, we normally get in plenty.
I'm just saying, Adam, make sure you bring your soundboard. You know, Josh, this is part of our thing, and we have to bring them.
Of your offensive line.
What do you mean by meat smugger?
Dirty Nelly's perfect fit for this podcast.
Yeah, no, don't worry. The soundboard will certainly be there at Dirty Nelly.
Just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
All right, well, we're looking to have a lot of fun and meeting our listeners. First of all, we know a big portion of our listeners do not live in Chicago. So, you know, we apologize that it's unless you want to fly in, you're more than welcome, but unlikely that everyone will be able to make it. But for those of you who are in the Chicago area, and then we still know there's a ton of you as well, this is really for you, and we hope you can make it out there. It's a good place. You know, 7:30, we're hoping that you can get around the traffic that's certainly everywhere around the city at rush hour. So hopefully it's a little bit later and a little bit more conducive to showing up in time. I know, Johnsy, you're going to be coming from the city. You're going to be battling traffic, but we're going to make this thing happen. And we hope that everyone comes out and can enjoy the live show. And we're looking forward to meeting everybody. So it should be a lot of fun.
Hey, we had that one request to do a show in England, and I am 100% off for doing a show in England. I've been rooting for the Bears to have the London game for a couple of years now, and that would be a phenomenal trip, and we would definitely do a show or two or three if we ever made it across the pond.
Yeah, somebody was tweeting at us earlier today to come do the show in London. Would love it. So we just need a game there. So, you know, get after good old RG1 and schedule the game, and we'll be there.
RG1. To think about that for a second, but absolutely, the Bears deserve to go to England because the Hogan Johns podcast deserves to go to England.
Exactly, that's what I call Roger Goodell, RG1. And we are working on some future live shows too, like in Bourbonnais. But we need this one. We need this one to go well. So, loyal listeners, come out, support the podcast, and show our bosses how great it can be. But we're optimistic because it's going to be a fun time, and we'll get this thing rolling. It should be a lot of fun. All right, speaking of getting things rolling, this podcast, some interesting news since we were on last week with you guys, and that's that Cam Meredith, which we kind of expected this was coming at some point because he was getting some interest, did sign an offer sheet with the New Orleans Saints. Roughly a 2-year deal worth about $5 million per year, so around $10 million. Johnsy, what's your reaction to that kind of money for Cam Meredith coming off the torn ACL, and whether or not you think it's fair for him and the production he gave the Bears 2 years ago?
Well, there's incentives in this deal, so obviously the Saints are protecting themselves against that knee, and you have to with a guy coming off a torn ACL. I mean, the guy did not play whatsoever last season. Again, he injured it in the third preseason game in Nashville against the Titans. I think Cam Meredith is still, I hate the word ascending. It's such a buzz scout word, GM, whatever coach word to use, but he's still developing emerging player. This is a guy who went to Illinois State as a quarterback. He has all the measurables that you want. He's 6'3", 218 pounds. He's athletic, can do a bunch of things for you. Can line up outside, inside. He's still learning on the job, I think, and he's come a long way. His route running, I thought, a couple of years ago, with every game played, just showed more and more polish, just got better and better. I think he's a good player. I don't think this is a lot of money for a guy who could be a number two receiver. Again, we are recording this before the final news on this kind of breaks and whether or not the Bears are going to keep him. But I think the Bears should. In my opinion, would not change on that. If they pass on Cam Meredith in this deal, I think it is a mistake.
Yeah, if you're listening to this a little bit later on the week, that the deadline has already passed and we already know if the Bears still have Cam or not. So it kind of puts us in an awkward position on this specific topic, but we're addressing it because our feelings don't really change one way or the other. And we definitely wanted to share our opinion on this situation. And it sounds like I agree with you, Johnsy. I mean, for one, you know, and some people brought up the fair point if they weren't willing to tender him more, because they tendered him at the low number. What is it again? Like,
it's the original round tender, so it's basically $1.9 million. If they use the second round tender, you're basically adding another million to that, and no team is going to come after Cam Meredith and
give up a second round pick.
Give up a second round pick for Cam Meredith. The Bears would have done that to protect themselves from someone coming to poach a Cam Meredith. But I think that's kind of opened up the Bears, Ryan Pace specifically, to some outside criticism. Have you seen some of that from Bill Barnwell from ESPN and Evan Silva from RotoWorld?
I actually did not see that. What did they say?
They think the Bears have completely botched. They actually question the Bears' understanding of the restricted free agency process.
Hmm. So the thinking there being that if they had just given him an extra million for the second round tender, nobody would have come after him and they wouldn't have had to pay him as much as they will now if they match the Saints' offer. That's the thinking?
Exactly.
So let me counter this. Let me counter that, okay? What if they knew that they were willing to pay more and they actually like the idea of locking him up for more than 1 year, but worst case scenario is, okay, we do the lower number and 1 year at a minimum, because then now we're really protected against the knee, right? He's got 1 year, we have him locked up for next season, and we're not paying him very much. Whereas if some team comes after, but we actually value him more than that, right? So another team comes in, they offer him, you know, more than 1 year, couple years. It's not going to be crazy money, but we do like him. So we, once again, letting the other team do the negotiation for you, right? And then sign him if you're willing to match that. Now, the counterpoint is maybe they just don't value him that high and they're willing to let him go.
I think you're right on the initial
the first point. Part, yeah.
Yeah, yes, the Bears do value him.
I think so.
You almost got to view Cam Meredith as like a draft pick. He was an undrafted free agent signing. He is their homegrown talent. He deserves to be in the conversation with the Kevin Whites, the Eddie Goldmans, the Eddie Jacksons. View Cam Meredith as a draft pick. He was signed, obviously, out of Illinois State, undrafted free agency, Brian Pace's first go-around at that with the Bears. So he's spent his whole career here with the Bears. They developed that, they've invested in him. So obviously there's an affinity for him. And obviously they paid the benefits on that a couple of years ago when he was the Bears' best receiver. And let's not forget, last year he started off as their number one receiver. He was outstanding in training camp. We could be having a completely different conversation about Mike Glennon and Mitch Trubisky still if Cam Meredith stays healthy. I firmly believe that. They were that good together in spurts, Mike Glennon and Cam Meredith. But anyway, I digress. I think the Bears, okay, I understand some of the criticism. I get it. You're allowing other teams to really come after certain players, even if you do value them. But you know what? If you can't come to an agreement, and there were conversations with Cam Meredith's people, why not try this route? They played it out with Kyle Fuller, and I get that there's risk involved. There's risk involved with everything. Free agency itself is full of risk. But you do this somehow, sometimes as part of the process to help make things work better for you and the player. He gets what he likes, and you get to show that you value him by matching the deal.
The more and more I think about the Kyle Fuller situation, it's I just from my own thinking of what I thought Kyle Fuller would get. He ended up with more than I thought, and it's not the most team-friendly type structure like the Bears have been trying to structure with a lot of these. It's not horrible, but it's not the most team-friendly. So I do wonder if the whole transition tag didn't work out perfectly.
But isn't that why you're in that place in the first place? The deals that you wanted to get with Kyle Fuller, obviously he didn't agree to.
Right.
But you still value him, and you still want to kind of protect yourself, so you use the transition tag. And you still tell him you value him, and you try to work it out another way.
Well, and you do find out how other teams value those players. I mean, you can't, otherwise you're just always guessing. I mean, now the best teams do have guys on their staff that correctly, you know, can predict the markets, but it's, you can never predict it exactly. So by doing this restricted free agent or transition tag, they're basically the same thing in terms of the process, then you're getting what the real market is, because you're actually getting a team to sign your player, essentially. regardless, I don't know how you feel about this offer from the Saints. I feel like it's completely fair. I mean, I think Cam Meredith is a pretty good player, and I think he's a guy that the Bears need, by the way. And I've been saying this the last couple weeks, in a perfect world to me, he is your number two to Allen Robinson. And $5 million for a good, solid, reliable number two? Sign me up for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's perfectly fair. That's great. So now the only wild card really is what's the knee like? I mean, I remember interviewing Cam back in November. Granted, I can't see inside of his knee. I'm not, you know, I'm not like a human MRI, but
you're not Superman?
No, I'm not Superman. But he was already at that point walking around without a limp and no issues, it seemed like. That was in November. We talked to him again at the end of the season. You know, he's been posting Instagram videos. The Bears know better than anybody else what his knee is like, right? And so you would trust them on that. From the money standpoint, I think this is a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good sign that Ryan Pace's former team was completely comfortable in giving him such a deal. I think it's a great sign that the Baltimore Ravens were very interested in signing Cam Meredith to an offer sheet. So obviously the interest alone says that there is a comfort level with the knee. And look, there's always risk with these decisions. I mean, you can sign the healthiest player in the world, and next year he tears, you know, an Achilles. Stuff happens. It's football. It's a high contact, violent sport. It puts a lot of strain on your ligaments and muscles. These things are going to happen. But for the money, for a deal that's full of incentives, which the Bears, we know, like to do. I mean, Joey Lane, he learned from Mickey Loomis. With the Saints, so obviously the Bears are not going to look at this deal and be like, oh, this does not look anything like what we do. It's probably exactly like they do. So it almost makes too much sense. Now we say this, maybe the Bears won't match him, but look, $10 million for a guy like you said who could be your number two receiver. Sign me up.
Yeah, and by the way, I think they need him. I mean,
yeah, oh yeah,
you. To me, you let him go, and all of a sudden, your depth chart looks a lot different. I mean, you're, frankly, you're different than last year, but you're not all that different in the sense of we saw Cam Meredith go down in the preseason. God forbid what happens if that happens to Allen Robinson, who just got hurt, by the way, is coming off a similar injury from last year. But, you know, I mean, that's something we can't forget about here. All signs are that Allen Robinson's fine and healthy. They signed him to a ton of money. But I'm just saying, your number one guy goes down once again, and you don't have Cam Meredith on the team either. You're suddenly looking at Kevin White.
Yeah.
You're right? Because Taylor Gabriel, fine signing, but you know he's a smaller guy. He's not. All of a sudden, the depth to me looks a lot different. And that's why I think it's crucial that they keep Cam Meredith around.
Yeah, people have become obsessed with like the fit of Matt Nagy's offense. And everybody always focuses on Jordan Howard, right? Because he's not exactly the pass catching running back you need that they had in Kansas City. But look, the fit is flexible. I mean, Matt Nagy, when we had breakfast with him at the NFL's owners' meetings, he talks about the flexibility of his offense and being able to move players around and do different things. And yes, a lot of that was in reference to a Tariq Cohen or a Jordan Howard. But you know what? He spoke very glowingly of a Cam Meredith. He sounded like a guy who wanted to work with a Cam Meredith, who was looking forward to working with a Cam Meredith because of what he can do inside or outside or just being there as a trick play artist too. Just a versatile player who could do a lot for you. I think Matt Nagy would love to have a player like Cam Meredith.
Yeah, and I find it interesting from Cam's side of this. I can't imagine that he wants to leave Chicago. You know, we talked to him at the end of the season. The conversations have been like a no-brainer. Like, yeah, I'll be back. Like, you know, it wasn't even much of a question that he was going to leave. he's, you know, everyone's making a big deal about Jordan Howard deleting all his Bear stuff on his Instagram. I mean, Cam had been posting stuff with him wearing Bear stuff while these negotiations were going on.
Yeah, literally working out at Hallis Hall because he's allowed to do some of that.
Yeah.
In some capacity. He's a Chicago kid.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. He's from here. It was, you know, it's been, you know, you don't keep guys just because it's a cool story. But in this case, I mean, the guy's from here. Ryan Pace discovered him at their local combine. I don't know. I would just be very shocked if he ends up on the Saints. But hey, you know, depending on when you're listening to this, maybe that sounds stupid at the point. But our opinions on this are the same no matter what the Bears end up deciding. So we're both in agreement that.
I mean here's the thing, though. You say you don't match the offer and you let Cam Meredith walk. Wide receiver immediately becomes a pressing need for the draft. You simply need guys. And I get that there's a lot of guys to pick from, but there's so much unpredictability with the draft, too. Surprises happen. Players that you had targeted in the fourth round may go, you know, early in the third. Things happen, you know? And it may not work out for you. Even your undrafted free agents, right? You may have this guy locked in your opinion, then all of a sudden the Saints swoop in and give the guy a bigger signing bonus. I mean, this stuff happens. I mean, there is – if you want Cam Meredith back, you can have him. And clearly you need more receivers. You need to embolden. You need to deepen that position. And it seems to make too much sense not to do that, especially with the draft right around the corner.
Well, and that is one – you know, it's a good point you bring up the draft, and it is something to keep in mind. I this is a completely hypothetical. No idea if this is remotely true. But let's just say, hypothetically, Ryan Pace is valuing Calvin Ridley a lot more than it appears other teams are. Because he appears to be out of the top 10 in terms of conversation right now. But maybe Ryan Pace loves him and is targeting him as a, you know, real possibility that they might take him at number 8. Well, okay, then I can kind of understand letting Cam Meredith go then for, you know, $5 million a year, because that guy could slide in right away and be a really good number 2 to Allen Robinson.
Yeah, that better be your course of action. If you're look, I'm not comparing him. I think Calvin Ridley may, you know, there's a reason why he could be a top 15, top 10 pick and Cam Meredith went undrafted, right? There's reasons for this. But you know what? There's been a lot of busts in the first round in terms of receivers as of late. A ton. The Bears have one currently on their
Kevin
roster.
White, yeah.
Right? It's – you know what Cam Meredith is and can be. He's actually produced at the NFL level. Just saying.
Well, and I would also say that I would be willing to pay $5 million a year in insurance to keep him around, even if I was going to go target Calvin Ridley.
Right. I mean, here's the thing, too. Like, Ryan Pace approaches free agency, restricted free agency, same thing, where he wants to have a best player available situation for himself. He doesn't want to feel the voices. He doesn't want to hear the voices in the back of his head. Hey, you know, you let Cam go. You need a receiver.
Yeah.
Let's move Ridley up from the 20th ranked guy to number 8, you know, because you need a receiver for Mitch Trubisky. Remember, everything revolves around Mitch. You don't want those voices talking to you. The Bears are still a rebuilding team. You got to go BPA. You can't be pressed to pick a receiver earlier than your board dictates.
All right. And speaking of the draft, we want to get to your questions, the listeners. Kind of a new feature that we are doing, and we solicited your questions on our voicemail line, 312-222-5050. Got a ton of responses. We appreciate everybody who called in. We apologize that we can't get to all of your questions. You know, unlike with the montages that we do during the season with all your post-game reactions that we can fit a ton in, we really only have time to take 3 questions. So Joe Romano, our outstanding producer, picked out what he considered to be the 3 best questions, the ones we should target. If you have beef with that, then his Twitter handle is at Joey Joe Rowe. You can target him there if your question did not make the show and annoy him with your complaints, which, frankly, I encourage you to do. All right, let's get to our first voicemail question of the week.
Tom from San Antonio, Texas. I agree with you guys. Moving back in the draft seems pretty unlikely, not a whole bunch of spots. If we were to move back, where do you see us going? Probably still defensive end, rusher, maybe a Marcus Davenport kind of guy. Looking forward to a response from you guys. Keep up the good work. Talk to you soon.
All right, a question from San Antonio there, John Z. Your thoughts on the question?
Well, number one, I don't think he'll be making it to Palatine to Dirty Nellies.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Not from San Antonio.
Yes. No, I would love to go and see the Riverwalk, though. Just want to throw it out there.
Well, we could have gone to the Final Four with Loyola. Well.
What's that?
We could have gone to the Final Four with Loyola.
I could have, but I didn't. Next year, actually, you know, that is an amazing story. We are totally getting off point, but I would have loved to have been part of the coverage team for such a story. But I happen to have a draft to cover over the next few weeks.
Right, right.
So anyway, here is the answer to your question. In terms of moving back, yes, like a Marcus Davenport, Harold Landry are probably your pass rushers that you're targeting outside the top 10. Maybe a Josh Jackson. I know you and I had him in our earlier mock drafts. Maybe he is a top 10 player for some teams, but I think he could be a player. We're talking about the Iowa cornerback who was, I think, pretty exceptional player.
He didn't run well, which is why he's kind of fallen back in these mock drafts, which don't really mean anything. I still think he's a top 10 player based on his tape.
Right, but maybe he's a guy you can find in the, I don't know, 15, 16 range. Like, if you trade back with the Bills at 12, he could definitely be a great option there. I think that's tremendous value for a Josh Jackson, number 12, in at least my opinion.
You know, Marcus Davenport, he's the defensive end slash edge rusher from Texas, San Antonio. Speaking of San Antonio, maybe our caller there knows, you know, a little bit more about Marcus Davenport than even we do. But, you know, I wonder, there are – here's the thing. We get so locked into these mock drafts because they're around, and that's sort of how we slot guys in our heads about where a guy might go. I mean, I think it's – for the most part, most years you kind of know who's going to be around the top five. But after that – you know, there's surprises every year. Nobody thought Kyle Long was going to get picked where he did. You know, there are guys that are much higher on some teams' draft boards than others. And I say this every year, it just takes one team. It just takes one team, and that one team could be the Bears. I say all this because perhaps Ryan Pace already loves Marcus Davenport and has him eyed at number 8. You know, that's a name that would make sense to me if they're moving back a couple slots. But who's to say they don't take him at number 8? Or like I just said with Calvin Ridley. I mean, these are the types of players that we're talking more like in the teens. But, you know, ultimately, these teams spend way more time evaluating these guys and vetting these guys both, you know, off the field and in their medical reports. And there's so much unknown from that regard that you almost just have to trust these guys when they do make a leap on somebody. And sometimes it pays off, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, the Bears have these clumps, like all teams do, right? You have these clumps of players with the similar grades that are so similar to each other. And that's how you kind of operate in terms of your pick. And you like to have options there. It gives you options to move back. I mean, the Bears did it. Last year or a couple years ago with Cody White here, they traded back twice in the first round. So you could almost see kind of a massive clump or chunk of players there that they have graded similarly, at least that year. And that's how you have to operate. You have to try to find yourselves the best player. You can't go based off need. I know certain things stand out, especially edge rusher, but you operate by what your grades are, what those chunks or clumps of players are. Clouds. What's the word Pace uses? Clouds?
I don't remember. We can catch up with him at that meaningless pre-draft press conference and get the lingo that he uses. That's my favorite press conference of the year, like 3 days before the draft. I mean, we can't get the GM to talk to us in the middle of the season when there's, you know, a season going on. But 3 days before the draft, when he can tell us absolutely nothing, there's a big press conference.
I want 1 year for him just to throw out a bunch of lies and have us like decipher it and just throw it out there for the masses and have everybody in the NFL decipher it. I think if a GM ever did that, it'd be genius, number one, and two, it would create a lot of confusion about where you're really going.
Like, what if last year he was just like, yeah, guys, I'm going to trade up for Mitch Trubisky. Nah, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. Come on.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It would blow people's minds, you know? And then you'd have, what, is he lying? Is he kidding? What does he mean? Is he really like Mr. Trubisky? That would be great. Great narratives. Such intrigue. They should do that. They honestly should do that.
Yeah, they should. All right, let's get to our next question.
Brian in Grand Colorado, and I just want to hear your guys' thoughts on Tanner Gentry. I love the Allen Robinson signing, but when Tanner and Mitch light up camp again, is this coaching staff going to find a way to get him on the field? I hope so. Ready to see it. Go Bears.
Your guy Tanner Gentry.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, where was that guy from?
I have no idea. I was thinking the same.
Let me play it again. He said that so quick.
Brian in Grand Colorado, and I just want to hear your guys' thoughts on
Grand Colorado? I have no idea where that is.
Doesn't sound like he's coming to Palatine either, though.
No. Maybe he's from Wyoming somewhere. That's what I'm guessing.
Tweet at us. I want to know your talk. You said it so quick, I can't understand it. But, okay. Tanner Gentry. By the way, Tanner Gentry has come up way too much lately as I evaluate Josh Allen. Because, like Tanner as an NFL wide receiver or not, Josh Allen losing to him at Wyoming made a big difference.
Do you know how many jump balls he threw to Tanner Gentry and Tanner Gentry came down with and made Josh Allen look good?
Yeah, I said that last year when the Bears got Gentry. I'm like, you could watch this kid's tape. He was playing with an NFL quarterback at Wyoming and making incredible plays. And then this year, Allen didn't have him. He didn't have anybody to throw the football to, and it really hurt him.
I think they're going to give Gentry another shot. I don't see why they wouldn't. He was a pretty darn good playmaker. Got a year ago in camp and obviously did not produce in the regular season. Everybody knows that. But you know what? John Fox did not want them to throw the ball. I know Dontrell Inman came in and was pretty productive. I know Kendall Wright was okay, but Tanner Gentry was a rookie. And even when he was playing often, you had him out there with Trey McBride, and you're—I mean, what type of offense are you running at that point? It didn't make any sense,
whatsoever.
So I think they give him another crack.
Well, he certainly gets another crack. There's plenty of empty spots on this 90-man roster right now, so why would he not take up one of them? And he'll probably have a good training camp again. I think that there are some limitations that the Bears do see, though, in Gentry's game in terms of separating. There's certainly ways to play him at the NFL level that's a lot different than when he was playing at Wyoming. And so I think that there are limitations there. And he's not the best contributor on special teams, which doesn't help his case. So, look, I think he'll get a fair shot to stick around this year, no question. But, you know, ideally your wide receiver depth is a lot better. And if there are limited spots on that 53-man roster and you're not a key special teamer, I mean, let's think about this. If they keep Cam, and everybody stays healthy, which is a huge if, but you got Cam, you got Allen Robinson, you got Kevin White, you got Taylor Gabriel. That's four guys right there already.
Right. I'll say this. He was making plays last year in camp, and this may sound like an over-exaggeration, but Adam, you were there. He made plays that Kevin White never made at all every instance, every practice that I saw him make, whether it's one-on-ones against Prince Mukamara, Marcus Cooper, or even Kyle Fuller, or it's 7-on-7s, whatever. Tanner Gentry made more plays like, whoa, what was that, than I have ever seen out of Kevin White. I mean, significantly more.
Right, and you're absolutely right about that. And that's why I was – look, we're always careful because there's one of these guys every year, and you always downplay it. But if you would have told me, like in August – when Tanner was making all those plays, and we're saying, I mean, they were like 2-minute drills where Trubisky, you're looking at him and you're going, wow, there's just that raw talent where he's clearly the best quarterback on this team already. And you're going, well, if that's the case with Trubisky, then why can't Tanner at least be one of the five best receivers on this team, right? Or, you know, four best, somebody who could contribute. So if you had then told me at that point in August that what would happen with the wide receivers would happen, then I would have told you for sure Tanner would have been out there at least catching some passes and being a somewhat reliable wide receiver who's playing a good amount. That didn't materialize. He got his chances, but never even really got targeted much in games, and then was never really a part of the whole thing despite all the problems that they had. So I don't know. I think it's fair to bring up what you brought up with, just it was a mess of an offense. You can't really trust. Who knows who John Fox trusted, right? Who knows who he wanted out there and didn't want out there? So maybe the new regime helps Tanner Gentry. But if he couldn't have made it with all those problems they had at wide receiver to at least be on the field more, that makes me question the long-term future of him with the Bears.
As a rookie year, a mess of a year for the Bears. I think it's context you need to use with a lot of the Bears' young players and how they did or did not develop last year, especially offensively, where there were step backs, I think, in numerous areas, just because of the way John Fox wanted to play football with that team.
Yeah, and that's something we have to keep in mind all the time. And that's what I'm saying. It's hard to trust. I think you can still trust the tape. I think it's hard to trust personnel decisions because, I mean, we can go back to any Hogan Johns episode from the entire season. I think I was screaming into a microphone every week about personnel. I mean, it just never added up. There was no rhyme or reason offensively to the personnel that was on the field almost every single week. So that's what I'm saying. I'm not willing to just throw Tanner out because he really wasn't part of the offense. But considering all the problems they did have with the wide receivers, it is a little bit surprising.
And this is a conversation I think that spreads to like guys like Daniel Brown, right? Like guys that have maybe have been better in practice. But Adam, you saw it. Once they went from Glennon to Trubisky, I mean, they were running an offense that, look, it was a John. It was like John Fox was designed this offense literally to go back in time for whatever reason. It only in certain circumstances did he allow Dow Loggins to expand his playbook. I mean, it was just so different than what Dow Loggins was running with like a Brian Hoyer, even a Matt Barkley a year ago. So obviously there was some direction given there by John Fox. And look, I think you have to keep that in context when making any evaluation with any of those offensive players, from Daniel Brown to even all the way up to, you know, like even Kevin White and Tanner Gentry.
And Carlos Santos.
Don't forget about Carlos Santos.
He's not on the team, Adam. Never was, but the other guy he was referring to is not.
Yeah, Carlos Santos never a Bear.
Siesta.
Yeah. All right. Final question from our voicemails at this week. And again, if you'd like to chime in for next week, 312-222-5050. I don't see any reason why we can't sneak some voicemails into the live show next week. So you can call in there, 312-222-5050. And again, all complaints send to Joe Romano at Joey Joro on Twitter.
All complaints, please. Yeah. And we encourage them.
Just in general, we encourage complaints and send them all to them, not to us. Or to yes, Joey, yes. Not to us.
He is the president of the complaint department as well. So, yeah.
Patrick's calling from Satellite Beach, Florida. What evidence do we have to think that Mitch Trubisky won't be great? The only thing I think we've seen a weakness in is his ability to process coverages, which comes with experience, but we haven't seen any glaring accuracy issues or decision-making problems or any of that stuff you expect from a, you know, potential bust. Otherwise, I've got to say, you know, I've said a couple times, Adam, I think you're phenomenal. You're killing it. You're doing the Lord's work. You know, your guy is struggling. It's tough for him. But Adam, you're doing great. You know, the other guy, not so much. Thanks.
Oh, he did that thing again. Yeah. That the same guy from last time?
Yeah.
You know, I think Adam's had a good season.
Yeah. I don't know which one, but one of us. Yeah. And that's a caller from Florida. So we got San Antonio, Florida, and then we don't know.
And Mystery Island, wherever that guy was from.
But I think we're 0-3 on callers being at the live show next week.
I got to file a complaint with Joe, on that one.
Yeah.
Way to go, Joe.
Hey, I'd love to take the Adam tour all over. I mean, we could come to Florida. Sounds good right now. I mean, it freaking snowed here this morning.
Yeah, right?
By the way, I have a rule, and I'm dead serious. I do not shovel after April 1. I mean, it could have snowed a foot this morning. Sorry. Not touching it. Because it'll,
you're gonna be that guy.
No, because it'll melt by tomorrow.
You're probably right.
It's supposed to be 72 on Friday.
I know. Time for some T-ball practice, Adam Hogue.
Well, good luck with that today. Hope you didn't have it today. Although, again, the White Sox played. The Cubs did not.
Anyway, I think the question is about the Trubisky stuff and not the White Sox.
True. There. I like the question, by the way. I think this is a great question.
I was watching some film of Trubisky, believe it or not. And I'm not the, I watch more film than I probably let on, but you know, you look at his numbers, not impressive, yada yada yada, whatever. You know, there were some plays where, you know, if a player is inbounds or like look at the Zach Miller touchdown, non-touchdown, Al Riveron got wrong in New Orleans, right? That is a phenomenal throw that Mitch Trubisky made. Now, that's kind of overshadowed by what happened to Zach Miller because his knee literally explodes.
Right.
It's an awful injury for a great guy who is going to have to overcome a lot going forward still despite his multiple surgeries. So that kind of overshadows everything. But that was a heck of a throw by Mitch Trubisky. One that does not count on his stat books. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, absolutely.
There were throws like that. There was one that Tariq Cohen, I think, down the sideline where he just steps out of bounds. I'm not talking about early in the season and his run, but there are plays like that where near misses, like a Dontrell Inman drop in Philadelphia. I mean, Kendall Wright had as much as people praise his connection with Mr. Trubisky, he had a round of drops. I mean, our guy Tanner Gentry had some drops against earlier in the year too. So, I mean, these things kind of add up. Mitch Trubisky's stat book, and or they don't. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. There were plays out there that were good for Trubisky, but don't show up in the final numbers.
Here's why I like, I especially like the way that question was phrased. What evidence do we have that Trubisky won't be great? Because if you think about it that way, and you go back and watch the tape that you're referencing, really, the only evidence we have is the numbers that you referenced, which were not great by definition. They weren't bad, but they weren't great. They weren't over, they didn't blow you away, the numbers, right? But if you watch the tape, there's very, very little not to like. And the one thing is, we live in Chicago, the home of zero great quarterbacks ever. Okay. All right. The only city that can do worse than us is Cleveland, and they've actually had better ones if you go back farther. So what my point there being, this is such an easy town for fans to criticize the quarterback, to get upset about the quarterback. And I think if you had told me, if the numbers had been where they were and Trubisky was played as much as he did, the city would be, I mean, all the talk about the trade up for him and all, I mean, the city would just be going nuts about how stupid of a move it was. You hear very little of that. I would say that 90% of the fans that we hear from and you hear on other radio stations when you listen to them, it's all very positive. Everyone's very hopeful with Mitch Trubisky based on what, and it tells me it's actually really, that's very encouraging from like a fan IQ standpoint, that despite an awful offense and all the problems that they had last year, people were still able to look through all that and understand that Mitch Trubisky showed a ton of potential. And the way that question is phrased, what evidence do we have that he will not be great? There's really not evidence that he won't be great. That's what's so encouraging. That doesn't mean he will be great. But you have to like, based on what he was able to do last season on tape with all those problems, with no wide receivers, with not a great offensive coordinator, under John Fox, who's not a coordinator, but he coordinates all three. I mean, it's really actually impressive what that kid did last year as a rookie under all of those circumstances. Now he's going to have Matt Nagy as his head coach. Now he's going to have Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel and an actual offense in front of him. I mean, I don't see any reason why he can't be much, much better in year two.
Yeah, I'm convinced. I'm 100% convinced he's going to be a good quarterback. How great, that remains to be seen. But this kid is a workaholic. And the new buzzword around the Bears is obsessed and obsession, right? Brian Pace first used it to describe Mitch Trubisky, and that's become like their now all-encapsulating word to use for the Matt Nagy era, obsession, being obsessed with being great. And that starts with Mitch Trubisky.
And that's what the great quarterbacks of all time have. They're borderline weird how yes. obsessed they are with their job.
Right, and Ryan Pace would know. He came from one of the best of all time in Drew Brees and Matt Nagy. Obviously, love him or hate him, I'm more on the love side with Alex Smith, but I think he's a pretty darn good quarterback, especially when he joined Andy Reid and the Chiefs. So Matt Nagy knows what Alex Smith meant to that organization. And one more point about the stats. You compare Trubisky's completion percentage, his passer rating, his interception rate, and there's some other stats too. Very comparable to what Carson Wentz was in his first season for the Philadelphia Eagles. Very, very comparable.
Yeah, now he's going into an offense that will also be very, very comparable to what Carson Wentz went into with Doug Peterson. So,
and I don't mean to be sound like we're drinking a lot of the Kool-Aid either. It's just... it's facts, and I think context and a bit of patience is needed when evaluating quarterbacks. I mean, these guys, it's a complex position, and there's a lot of stuff that goes into it, other than the physical standpoint and the talent that's needed, from the mental aspect point in terms of the pressure, and then to the terms of recognition or recognizing what you're seeing in terms of coverage and where the safety's at and where he's – you know, hiding his you know, his alignment and all that stuff. I mean, all that stuff is very complicated, and he was a rookie. He needs to grow through these things.
And by the way, the numbers, 59.4%, which, by the way, is better than Josh Allen will have coming in from Wyoming. But you want to be over 60, of course. 2,193 yards, 7 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. You like to see that ratio better as well. But I think, you know, to your point, Adam, there would have been a lot more touchdowns had he had better weapons, didn't have drop balls. One of those was called away from an awful call by the officials on Zach Miller's touchdown in New Orleans. Passer rating, for whatever it's worth, 77.5. So those are obviously numbers you want to all see climb a lot in year two. But again, I think when you go back to the tape and you actually watch each game, you saw the problems that the Bears had, you understood all those problems. Frankly, I'm surprised those numbers are as good as they are.
Yeah, I mean, the John Fox-led team who wanted to run, you know, the wing T if he could. You know, it's just, look, it's... there are reasons to be encouraged, and I get that some fans don't want to be encouraged because I think they've just accepted the Bears being a downtrodden franchise for whatever reason. But so many things, I think, are new now about this team. And this is a lot different in terms of starting points, you know, for Matt Nagy than what John Fox started with. I mean, when John Fox started, he had a lot of holdovers from the Trestman era, right? Like a lot of old veteran holdovers
old
from the Trestman era.
Bad.
And those holdovers were old holdovers from the Lovey era, right? So Matt Nagy almost starts completely anew here in so many aspects.
Yeah. All right. Anything else we should sneak in here?
Go to Dirty Nellies.
Dirty Nellies. Yeah. What a great place for the Hogan Johns podcast.
I'd like to see him get his hands on more balls.
Yeah, it's going to be perfect. All right, the details again on the live Hogan John show that we've been talking about doing for a long time. You guys asked for it. We did that survey last year, and a bunch of you guys said you would come. if we did a live show. So I want to see you all out there. I'm sure you will. It's a great opportunity to meet us, have a drink with us. We'll do the show. Jared Payton's going to be there as well. We're working on a couple other guests. Again, it's at Dirty Nelly's next Tuesday, April 17th. That's a day after my birthday, April 16th. So
wow. So we should have a cake.
Or everyone has to buy me a drink.
I'm very intrigued at what Dirty Nelly's birthday server celebration is like. You know what I'm talking about? When everybody comes out, does a little dance.
Yeah.
You know. Just thinking, this could be fun. Nelly's, everybody.
To be clear, this is a family friendly event. I want to be very clear that this is not a strip club, as Adam Johns is apparently insinuating.
No, it's like the old Bennigans, my friend. Come on.
Bennigans.
You know,
remember Bennigans? Does Bennigans still exist?
Bennigans does not exist, but maybe they still do it at Chili's where people come out and they sing to you. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're trying to expand his package.
Has he struggled with expanding his package?
So Dirty Nelly's, 180 North Smith Street, Palatine, Illinois. By the way, to prove that this is a family-friendly event, I believe James is going to make an appearance.
There you go.
I think he's going to stop by. 7:30 to 8:30 is the time. Again, Tuesday, April 17th. So pretty much a week from now, we hope to see everybody out there. Appreciate you listeners, and looking forward to seeing everybody in person. Even you from San Antonio and Florida and
Mystery Town,
we can't figure out. Please tweet us where that is.
Yes.
All right.
It'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun.
Let's get out of here. Fun podcast. Only pretty much 2 weeks to the draft. Holy
crap. That snuck up on us.
Holy crap.
Hey, you should bring your little big board to the Dirty Nellies.
Yeah, but I told you, James stole it. Basically erased all the names I had on it. You can't really trust anything with a 3-year-old.
No, nothing, honestly. But
yeah,
I still think you should bring it.
All right, so we'll come up with a new big board or something.
There we go.
The real big board, the Hoag's Bears big board, will come out within the next 2 weeks. I promise, on WGNRadio.com. In the meantime, ChicagoSunTimes.com is where you read Johnsy. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoag, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. All complaints go to Joe Romano at Joey Joe Rowe. Please find the podcast, Hoag and Johns. Search for it, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. Tune in. It's there. Please rate and review. If you'd like to leave a voicemail, 312-222-5050. We'll see everybody next week, hopefully, at the live show at Dirty Nelly's. That will be our next episode. We'll talk to you then.
We're going to be simple. We're going to play fast. We're going to play hard. We're going to kill it, okay? This is a great acronym, you guys, right? Kill it. Keep it likable and learnable.
Do your research.